The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. You, O Lord. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus said to Simon and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Every once in a while, I get this irresistible urge to declutter, and I try to keep my garage not looking like an Arizona garage, you know, where you can barely get through. Now, the Swedes have developed a system for decluttering called Swedish death cleaning. It's not as morbid as it sounds, because it simply instructs one how to get rid of clutter and junk so that whoever follows and is responsible for the aftermath isn't left with a huge mess. So my dilemma is a box of family mementos, not pictures, mind you, as I am digitizing them slowly but surely, but tangible objects passed down from generation to generation. One such object I ended up receiving is the cross my great-grandmother received, and I have it here. Now, I know it's small, but I'm going to ask the video camera to focus in on this cross. Here we go. I've covered up the center of the cross, and the reveal will come later on in the sermon. But this is the cross which my great-grandmother received. I'll explain more about that later. Jesus has just begun his public ministry in the words of St. Mark by declaring the good news of God. As followers of Jesus, we naturally call him the embodiment of good news, the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. But that understanding and development comes a bit later in the life of the church, and Jesus proclaims the gospel of God. He's not talking about himself. So he's talking about something that has existed long before he came upon the earth to dwell among us. And that's important to remember. The story of Jonah often gets conflated into just his caper with the whale or the big fish, and that's it. We can easily overlook the other actors in the story, which play an important part as much as the whale, the worm, the plant, the hot, dry wind. And we can more easily overlook the main point of the Jonah story, that God chooses mercy rather than destruction. Even if the people of Nineveh were citizens of a terribly violent, brutal regime. That's gospel, God's good news played out in eons past before Jesus. I will make you fish for people. It's a direct call from Jesus himself to bring folks into the kingdom of God, and I'll use that dreaded word, evangelism, to bring it into our own lives. It's a call not to so much to drag people kicking and screaming into Sunday worship, as it is a call to bring people to the realization that God loves them just for who they are and wants to continue to bless them. Our outreach ministries here in this parish demonstrate this care. And through this care, people realize they are actually important and then come to thank God, which is the whole point of worship. But to do that, we need to understand who Jesus is. There are tons of Christian groups that harangue and harass people who are different. The other, we call them in theology. They demand that we make a choice for God, a decision that has eternal consequences, and you better agree with me. They demand that we conform to a specific way of living, and there's no room for the other. If you don't conform, you are judged, and heavily, I might add, with no room for grace. One thing about Jesus, he said some things that were never, ever said before, and they are unique to him. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. You know all this. He also said a lot of things that came out of his Jewish faith tradition, directly out of the Hebrew Bible. But he took what was taught by Moses and the others and added a further emphasis, not just love your neighbor, the one who loves you, but love your enemy. Don't share just one piece of clothing with a person of need. Share two, and so on. But I say to you, is his way of advancing compassion. He has turned this saying of fishing for people on its head. It's originally a quote from Jeremiah chapter 16. If you want to check it out and read it to make sure I'm not making this stuff up. Here in Jeremiah, God calls for fishermen for the purpose of judgment and punishment. Israel has forsaken God, and so God will send fishers to drag the population kicking and screaming into punishment. Israel will have its reckoning. Jesus completely turns this saying on its head. The new style fishers will be for the purpose of the gospel, God's good news, which he is proclaiming in word and deed as he tramps around the countryside of Judea. This is the Jesus whom we are to emulate when we find ourselves in relationship with other people, which is every day, not judging, but welcoming. The world doesn't like this message at all and tries its best to tear us away from this radical message of radical acceptance in every way, shape, and form that it can. So let me go back to my great-grandmother's cross, and I'll ask the video folks to zoom in and on again for the reveal. This is the reveal of my great-grandmother's cross. Can you see what's in the center? Oh, I can't. Okay, you see what's in the center of this cross? That's not hearts and flowers, is it? It's not a rainbow. There it is, in all its hideousness. Plastered onto the very heart of the cross of Jesus is the ultimate symbol of racism, hatred, prejudice, genocide, and ultimately fear of the other. So let me offer some context about how this cross came to be. It's actually a rather common artifact from Nazi Germany. You can get them on eBay. It's no big deal, but nobody knows about this, fortunately. The Nazi Party was extremely concerned about racial purity, as we know. Those people were deluding the pure race. So to encourage Aryan Germans to have more and more and more children, the party came up with this idea, award women with a Mother's Cross. That's the name of this, Mother's Cross. If a woman pumped out up to 4 kids, she received a bronze cross. 5 to 6 kids, a silver cross. My great-grandmother had at least 8 that I know of, so she got the big prize and won a golden cross. Supposedly, it was a great honor to wear this cross on certain days only, and if the woman were later found to have a non-Aryan ancestor, the party would come knocking on your door and say, "Give it back, you don't deserve this." You can see how the party was trying in a not-so-subtle way to destroy the Christian church through its manipulation of our most precious symbol. Hitler hated the church because it was based on what he perceived as weakness, being vulnerable instead of being tough, being open to the other, and so on. In other words, party dogma was the antithesis of the gospel. Our call today is no different than the call of the first disciples who rubbed shoulders with Jesus himself to proclaim the good news of God, the gospel, in word and deed, all the time remembering that the world delights in distorting this message as much as it can. So we need to be very clear in our own minds exactly who this dude Jesus is. Early on in his ministry, Jesus was compared with many other religious persons, including his cousin John the Baptist. After hearing a list of who people thought he might be, he directly asked his followers, "But who do you say that I am?" That question is asked of us too every day, because exactly who is Jesus for you? I pray that we have all moved beyond the image of a judgmental Jesus who sends out fishers for the purpose of bludgeoning those who don't conform. After all, it is the uptight upright who create scenarios of exclusion, who delight in turning the good news of God into a contest to see who is the most acceptable. The Jesus whom we worship and with whom we have a saving relationship is the one who came to us first, before we could do anything to gain his favor. Does anybody know who Augusta's top lady is? Come on, people. Augusta. I never heard of the guy until I was doing some research. He's the guy who wrote Rock of Ages. It's in a little footnote at the bottom. Anyway, he's the guy who wrote Rock of Ages, and he wrote these words as part of that hymn. "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." What cross are we trying to cling to? A cross that has been usurped and raped by worldly powers such as this? Or a cross from which words such as these were spoken to you and to me? "Father, forgive them, and into your hands I commit my spirit." Words coming from the lips of an innocent, dying man because the world hated his message. The time was fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Amen.